chalice and silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. It's still kind of a new one. Let's sing it again, okay? Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. As long as you're standing, and if you want to be seated, you could, but let's greet one another with God's peace. Who's that this morning?
The singer.
Oh. Yeah. John, I know you are going to say something this morning, so why don't you do that there?
Hello.
Yeah, you can move around and even come up here, so whatever.
This is close enough, please.
Okay.
Got a number of things today. Joy's concerns business. So let's do it in order of fun. We'll do business first. This is an official notice that we're going to have a congregational vote next Sunday. This is our first of two Sunday notices. So the council can have approval to spend up to $6,000 to improve the cemetery. We're going to be doing creating a berm for black dirt so we can hide that from the public view instead of having that pile of garbage just sitting out there by the road. And we got a bid to build some retaining walls, tear out a tree, remove the tree stump, haul in black dirt, and looking to get that done relatively quickly. So we can talk about it and have a vote next week. And you'll be notified again next Sunday prior to the vote to take care of the official bylaws. Next thing, I talked to Tim Leppel, got an update about Max Edwards. Max was on, I believe, the prayer chain, but he had back surgery a number of weeks ago, and that went well. He is at home, and Tim said he has a lot of hardware in his back. So not really sure what the extent of that is, but he's in recovery and doing well. Tate and everybody doing well? Do you guys, I haven't heard anything, so Tate's doing good. Okay, good. So there's an update for Tate. And lastly, prayers for the Bullock family, B-U-L-L-O-C-K. Sierra, who has worked with Elsie, passed away yesterday in a car accident down in Iowa. Her twin sister was driving the car, lost control in the afternoon, the way it looked like. And, wow, excuse me, this shouldn't be happening to me, but car rolled, sister was ejected and died. Wasn't wearing a seatbelt. The sister wearing the seatbelt had a mild concussion. So there we go again. Anyway, that's our fun news. So thank you again, prayers for all.
Our sympathy to you, especially Elsie. folks at these Oaks and Pines in Hutchinson, the Ecumen. That's a tough one, as you all know, most of you here. Car accidents. John's leaving, but 6,000, is that come out of the fund, the cemetery fund, or is that, how does that work? The 6,000 for the update.
Well, that's what discussion would be.
Whether to take it out of the cemetery fund?
Correct. Or if people want to, there's monies in the memorial fund. If somebody wanted to donate their funds from the memorial fund towards that or something too.
Okay. So. All right. And that's next Sunday after church.
Yeah.
This Sunday after church, there's treats, right? And. That's sweet of her. And the upper rooms are in. Margie's been waiting for the upper rooms to come in, so I can take her one of those if today, unless you do, Dave, or you're going there. And I'm not saying you have to, but I go that way anyway, of course. So, yeah. Margie broke her ankle and can't put any weight on it, so. Otherwise, she's doing pretty well, other than having to lay around, which is, of course, not Margie's style, really, at all. Other joys, concerns? There's flowers after church. Not those flowers, but she wondered what the big boxes were out here. And it's an anonymous donor. You didn't see that. Not me. Anyway, take them home for moms, women, anyone who, grandmothers. And of course, this is what we call Mother's Day. And I don't know how you want to be recognized, moms. You want to stand and get an applause? Okay, we'll get applause by their sitting. Why not? Right. Thanks, moms. I'm going to grab my guitar up here because my mother, who died about 5 years ago now. She was 92. I remember when the first game of the season playing football, my senior year, I finally got to be quarterback. And it happened on defense. I was trying to tackle one. And if I didn't get it, he would score a touchdown. But it tore cartilage in my knee. And that meant, at that time, I was probably out for the season, at least on football. And I was laying around the house, having already seen a doctor, and put my leg in a cast, just with corn cartilage. Feeling sorry for myself, and ending, my world had ended. I felt that way, even though school went all right for me. I had friends, good family. I had the music thing going, but still it was like, whoa, what's there to live for? Not that I was thinking of suicide or anything like that, but just mom sensed that. And after about a day home, she said, why don't you, if you want to, I'll go up in the attic and get that guitar that your Uncle John left behind. He was killed in a car accident with his wife and two little kids in the back seat. He was on his way to seminary. And he'd been a musician He played in a symphony orchestra, and he also played a little guitar. But his wife, his widow, acquired not this guitar, but one I have at home similar to it. And why don't you learn to play that? And so she brought it down, and I learned a few little chords, and it was a whole new world lifted up. And folk songs, singing and playing chords and that kind of thing. So I thought, in honor of at least my mother, and both my grandmothers were musical too. One played piano for silent movies, gave piano lessons, played in church too. And the other one, she couldn't wait to come to church and sing the good old hymns. And her voice would soar above all other voices, her and Hulda Brust. And so I feel as I owe something to him. So I thought we'd do a song or that I wrote. That the words are in the Bible, 1 Corinthians, 15, 3 through 4, I think. Goes like this. Paul writes, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again. Try it with me now. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again, and rose again, hallelujah, hallelujah, and rose again, hallelujah, hallelujah, and rose again, hallelujah, hallelujah, and rose again. And then just to end it with this kind of song, this was Guy Stone's favorite song from the hymnal. It's a little chorus. It goes like this. Hallelujah. You know what that means? It means, in Hebrew, you praise the Lord. And in Latin, of course, alleluia, the same thing. Here we go. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you're good. That was fun. In honor of at least probably all our mothers who, and I'll say more about that later. Mother's Day and how to obey. We return to our bulletins now and read what we call the call to worship. Although really it's, we've been worshiping, of course, but Peg, maybe you and I can get, or you can figure out something else to call it. I don't know, but maybe it doesn't matter. The God of heaven and earth calls us together. We come to explore matters of the Spirit. There is so much we do not know or understand. So much of God is unknown to us. So let us look carefully at the objects of our worship. Our attention is easily diverted from God. We want to worship the one who gives us breath. We reach for the reality beyond our knowing. In God we live and move and have our being, direct quote from the Bible. All that we have and are comes from God. God is not limited to shrines made by us. God is everywhere, present in the whole universe. We pray together to say, let the sound of praising you be heard among us today and in all the paths of your dominion, O God. We believe you are present with us, even when we cannot feel or see or hear you as we would like. We thank you for the times when you have caught our attention. We ask for one of those times today. Shake us out of our complacency and our cherished inerties. Hold in your steadfast love and call forth within us an awareness of all your blessings. Stimulate among us an eagerness to live as you intend. Amen. Used to sing this when I taught school in Iowa. Go around to the classes, public school, and kids liked it too. For the beauty of the earth.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, God of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of great. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Praise, of course, has the word prayer contained within it. Let's pray that prayer of confession together to say, O God, we confess that we have loved our own way more than we love you. The spirit of truth does not abide in us, for our actions belie the words of praise we utter in worship. We neglect the spiritual disciplines that would draw us close to you and the clearing outreach that would link us with sisters and brothers who need to know of your love. We have not witnessed to our faith in ways powerful enough to evoke opposition or cause us to suffer. O God, it is hard to follow Jesus. Forgive us, teach us, help us. Amen. A Latin word, of course, translated to say, to mean, so be it. Gosh, you know, when I read these prayers, it's like, are we that bad? But it's all relative. It's really honest because we're human and we will always fall short of God's glory, and it's important to confess that we're human and to know, especially, Christ has risen And we are pardoned as we come before God and say, I'm sorry, but help me do better. Be assured that we are forgiven of our sins. James, there's two to read here today. The early church, part of that story in Acts, and then, of course, our gospel lesson.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. A reading from the Holy Gospel of John. Jesus said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Thank you, James, and to anyone who reads. To love and obey. To love and obey? It sounds like a wedding vow. Did any of you, do you remember saying the word obey in your vows? To love and obey? I'm trying to think. I asked my coffee group that same question. There's about a dozen of us there. And one of the women said, "Obey? Are you kidding me?" And of course, obey is, although it's not used in the version you read from today, I did some research on it, and the only two particular translations that were translated, "keep my commandments," to the word obey, were found in the Living Bible and the New International Version. Interestingly enough, I mean, King James didn't even have the word obey. Couldn't find it in there. And maybe there's many other words we use in our vows. For instance, in the United Church of Christ Book of Worships, it's to love and sustain one another. Some vows have the word encourage one another in it, or a cherish and honor, but not too much obeying anymore, it seems like. It's gotten to be a word that, of course, well, if we put our trust in each other, as far as partners, we're always going to be a struggle for domination. Who's going to give the orders and who's going to obey? Used to be years ago, of course, in the rural farming economy, pretty much the domain of the man, as it was then, was the outdoors, whereas the inside was what mom would say this way. And of course, in the Bible, there's that word about when Paul writes to the Ephesians, which is thrown into our face many times. Someone will say, it says in the Bible that the man is the head of the house. And as someone once told me, who was a preacher's wife, she said, "Well, that might be true, but the woman's the neck that turns the head." When really, it's Paul is really trying to say, and he does come out and say this, submit yourselves one to another. In other words, an equal relationship and obeying God, however that might be. How do we interpret things? Be subject to one another out of reverence to Christ. For we are all children of God. To love and obey. To give a command and then carry it out. I was sitting on the deck, and we get a lot of traffic. No sidewalks, but people walk on the street, so have to pay attention. And here came a younger mother with a baby, one in the buggy or the carriage, and maybe a three-year-old brother, he looked to be, who, of course, was very curious about not only what was going on, and they usually walk on the right side of the street if they're going, well, either way, because it's park ground, more or less, there. And so he was curious about that, but then it was always dangerous when he'd turn left and went across the road. But very quickly, mom had a word to say. I couldn't tell what it was, but in other words, get back again. And he obeyed this quickly, like a well-trained dog almost, you might say. Curiosity was curtailed because it was dangerous on the street. And it made me think, you know, we're all kind of children. And we need to obey. carry out the commandments as you read it, James. What does it mean exactly? So I looked the book up in the dictionary, obey. And the definition is found in the American College Dictionary, published in 1969, was to fulfill the commands or instructions. We kids, the five of us growing up together, we all had our little jobs to do, especially on Saturday. Mine was, of course, in addition to keeping our rooms clean, mine was to sweep the porch and sweep the sidewalk, to polish everyone's shoes in the house, and of course to clean up my area where I had books or maybe some toys or something when I was younger. And I remember that was the hardest one to do, because I don't know if you're like me and you see a book and you say, you want to read it, you don't want to put it in a certain place. And of course, if you're younger and you have toys on the shelf, trucks or whatever they might be, dolls, you want to play with them. You don't want to put them away where they're supposed to go. So I remember Saturday mornings were always a little traumatic with Mom, because even though she would say, get your chores done, we didn't always carry them out. The early church, the people of, well, they were Jewish, of course, and the words were spoken to Jesus, a Jew himself, and to say, and you just read this, James, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, side by side, obeying, keeping the commandments. And what is the commandments? Jesus reduced them down to two. Love each other like I've loved you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love. It's tough to do, even today, and especially for that early church. They were compelled to live out their faith in an overwhelmingly hostile, negative, rejecting world, without the earthly presence now, without Christ. James Wharton said that in his commentary on the book of John. They were compelled to live out their faith in the presence of an overwhelmingly hostile, negative, rejective world, without the earthly presence of Christ anymore. I'm going away. Follow me. Okay? And we, as I said last week, we sometimes take that text to mean when we die, we will follow and go to heaven. And yeah, I like that. It's very comforting to think that. But I wonder if Jesus also didn't mean to follow me while you're on earth yet. Do what I do. One of my favorite commentators were someone, and sometimes they, someone you've seen in person, you spend a week with in a pastor's workshop, was, now don't laugh when I say his last name. His name was David Buttrick, Buttrick. But there was no tricks what he said, especially when he wrote his commentators. He said some things that helped me to understand what it meant to follow Jesus. And I want to read this to you, little part on page 43 of his commentary on John and on keeping the commandments. Page 43, David says, if you love me, quoting Jesus, you'll keep my commandments. This statement, Buttrick goes on to say, is startling, because these days love is largely a feeling, spontaneous, warm, fuzzy kind of a feeling. And how can we spontaneously be ethically obedient to a feeling? Can a feeling be commanded? Think about that. That was a joke. Now be funny. I think it's funny. Or this is sad. You better feel sad too that this happened. I mean, you can't command that to each other. But he describes this obedience. It'll scarcely be slavish. In love, obedience will be a free, eager, voluntary willingness. And then he goes on to say, finally, being one with Jesus involves action. It's not merely a hot tub experience of mystical togetherness. That really hit with me. A hot tub experience of mystical togetherness. Union with Christ is defined by ethical rigor. How is Christ in us ultimately? Christ is in us as we do works of love. His agapic love, which is, of course, God's love. And one more thing about what others have said, which hit home with me. Another one of my favorite theologians, he just died a couple, 3 months ago, Walter Brueggemann. He's pretty well known, not only in the United Church of Christ, but in all the Protestant churches anyway. And I remember him saying in a lecture on one of the days of that week we were there, this word, I wrote him down. The practice of love makes the church staggeringly unlike the world. The practice of love makes the church, the people of God, staggeringly unlike the world. And he didn't mean the earth. How people think, our society, what we're more inclined to do, to react. Threats of violence with violence ourselves. To not love our enemies, but to hate our enemies. To do away with those who aren't like us. The church. It's not what the church is about. To mothers, how does that mean to you and to your mothers? We loved our mother, I guess, although we made it hard for her. And I remember she used to send me these upper rooms when I was in the Army. Even in Vietnam they came. I didn't read them. I think Mom knew that. I don't know, I wasn't there. But of course now, the pretty important part of the spiritual practice, read a scripture, when someone else has to say about that, a prayer, important stuff. I think Mom knew that, but you know, she sent them anyway, always. And sometimes I think loving God is a lot about how God is motherly, you might say. Have a God who nurtures, who nurses us. There's scriptures about God loves us like a mother feeding her child. And of course, this is probably more for Earth Day than for Mother's Day, but sometimes we speak of the Earth as our mother. It cares for us, provides for us with all we need to eat or drink. Are we loving her as well? We do not dismay because, as James read, the Spirit is with us, the Paraclete, the one who is holy and is with us always to stand up for us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to challenge us. Praise God. Trust and obey, we sing. Trust involves love, for sure. Trust and obey, there's no other way, how's the hymn go, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Let's remind ourselves as who we are, as we look to the 59 version of our statement of faith on the inside cover of the hymnal. Let's say together these words, that we believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Savior Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges man and nations by his righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. Our prayer hymn is 89, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. What sweeter far than face to see, and in thy presence rest. No voice can sing, no heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name of mankind. Oh, upon every contrite heart, oh, joy of all the meek, for theirs who fall, how kind, how good to those. We'll sing a little bit now and we'll pray. Diane keeps playing or praying. We keep praying, of course, oh God, because it's not really us that prays. It's the Spirit in us that reaches out. to comfort those who, well, we think of Sierra and Dakota, a terrible car accident. Be with, especially Dakota now here. Bless Sierra and all her family who are mourning for her, her friends, her courts, ones that work together. It's really tough to think. We think of Max, who's still recovering from his accident. Bo's court and friend. Thank you for doctors, nurses, all administration people, for insurance people, all the ways that we care for one another. Pray for all in leadership positions, that we can realize we're here for each other, to serve one another. Whether we're the President of the United States or whether we're a farm worker, maybe here legally, humbly trying to make a living, or whatever the case may be, may we know that in you, O God, there are no illegals. For your power transcends all the power of any laws we can make. It's good to know about, as we say, baby Tate, or now it's Tate, through so much, he and his family and friends doing well. And of course, the list goes on and on. And so we pray this prayer you taught us to pray, knowing probably it covers everything, as we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing number 5. How about that? Or no, we can't skip any. Let's sing 4 and 5. Yeah. Last two. They're short.
What to those who find this but talk and show the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. Jesus, our only joy be thine, as thou our prize will be. Jesus, be thou our glory, now and through eternity.
We stand and praise God, who in many ways is like our mothers to us, and thank God for our mothers and grandmothers and all who are like mothers to us in many ways. Praise God.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We pray together to say, may all that we give today be used to express your love among us and beyond us. God of all people, we are thankful for your gift to us in Christ Jesus, who was so committed to sharing your love that he risked rejection and death. We are grateful that even though his suffering alive in the Spirit, may Christ live today in us, in our caring, in our giving, in our speaking, in our doing. We rededicate ourselves to your service. Amen. Thine own, whatever the gifts may be, all that we have is yours alone. Our trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Fairest Lord Jesus, we sing. Jesus, ruler of all nature, O Lamb of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus, will I cherish. Is pure, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry. Shines brighter, Jesus shines pure than all the angels' heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and oration now and forevermore be thine. And may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Don't forget there's fellowship after.